Hey, I'm Amanda Jane. Here we're bridging energy, heart, strategy, and real life practices to grow in business and in life. Together we're busting myths and shifting the dialogue, embracing curiosity, intuition, trust, and courage, especially when it's messy and imperfect, because that's what makes a lasting difference in the world. Welcome to the More Ways Podcast. Welcome back to the More Ways Podcast. I am really excited to be back and be sharing this episode with you today, finally, because this message I'm bringing today has been percolating for months. You see, I've been wanting to get back to the podcast, and I knew the first one that I wanted to start with was going to be a really honest and transparent reflection and really sharing about what it takes to come back to something that you've failed at or haven't been successful with or that you haven't been consistent with, because that's been my experience with the podcast. If you're anything like me, the best laid plans are just that. They're plans, and they aren't always how things turn out. Not only do they not turn out in the way that you expect, but coming back to something after you've failed, it really takes something special. A lot of people don't come back after they fail. They give it a single shot and they say, I'm not good at that, I'm done. And, you know, fair enough, sometimes that isn't the right thing for them. For me, however, podcast continued to have this siren call, something that was for me. With my first attempt, I hadn't been able to get into the groove with it, and it didn't work out for me. I knew I wanted to try again. So here I am. For anybody that wants to try something again, to learn, to innovate, to grow, they are going to need to figure out what it takes to try again. So that's what I'm sharing in this episode. I've broken it down to four things that it has taken to try again, to come back. And I'm going to share those four and how I'm thinking about it and what it was like for me to go through this process of coming back to the podcast. Overall, coming back is about being radically honest and about holding yourself responsible with compassion and a growth mindset. So I'm going to look at each of those. To me, being radically honest with yourself means coming to terms with the truth or the facts of the situation. And that means reflecting. I love to start my reflections with the positives and what has worked. And that's to kind of correct for that negativity bias, because our minds so quickly go to what was wrong or what we need to correct for. And focusing on what worked, what were the positive, it means that we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There might be a strength or a success that you can use to springboard into that next iteration. And that will get lost if you don't look at what went well. Not everything about your failure was wrong. Not everything about my failure was wrong. And if you intend to find strengths and successes to build on, then you will find them. For me, when I reflected on what worked, it was the content. I got great feedback from friends and listeners that said that what I was sharing was really impactful for them. So that's one of the things that I wanted to build on and was one of the things that really fueled my return. And the fact is also that some things about what we've tried in the past didn't work. So reflecting on that honestly as well, looking at what were the processes, what were the systems that we put in place, what was the plan or the outline that was directing this, how were decisions made, and what information went into that decision making. These are all things that are not fundamentally about who you are as a person. So looking at these aspects with objectivity means that you can approach this with an intent to identify what didn't work rather than blaming and shaming and looking at what about me fundamentally made this a failure. Coming at this with an eye towards learning, improving, innovating, and growing in order to move on, not about becoming someone that you're not. So for me, what didn't work was the amount of time and energy that each episode took me, and the level of perfectionism that I was putting into the details. I know now that my perfectionism was a means to protect myself from the criticism and the judgment externally as much as internally. That is, from others as much as me towards myself. And feeling like I spent lots of time perfecting every word and eliminating every and creating new images would somehow prove that this was valuable enough to be shared and that I was good enough to be sharing it. And in the end, it was a lot of extra time spent masking the fact that I was new at this and things aren't smooth or slick. The processes haven't been refined or honed. It's more messy and raw and vulnerable because I was a beginner. I was new at it. So that's what didn't work. Spending an inordinate amount of time trying to perfect things and pretend to be further along than I was in order to protect myself from criticism and judgment. Now, looking honestly at what didn't work is part of the process because that is where you're going to find quality learnings and where you can innovate and grow from. If you're not willing to look at what didn't go well, you might need to repeat those mistakes again. Now, what necessarily needs to go with radical honesty in order for it to be effective is deep compassion for yourself. So practicing not judging and shaming yourself as being wrong, bad, less than, not knowing enough, for failing, for not being consistent, for not creating the success you had hoped for, and instead remembering that you had good intentions, you had a desire to do good, and viewing yourself and your work with kindness and love, and thinking about how you would evaluate and reflect on this with what I would call love-colored glasses. That's what I mean by bringing compassion into this. If you reflect with judgment and shame, then your reflection, along with your opportunity for growth and learning, will come to a halt. I mean, how do you grow if you believe you're a failure? One is you simply believe that to be true and you decide not to pursue this. There is the option that you work harder to prove that you're not. Now, that strategy might work for a while until you either burn out or can't work any harder. And then you become a failure again and you're right back at that same place, trying to prove that you're not a failure, when in reality, it's a place of opportunity and growth. To be able to be radically honest, bring deep compassion beside it. And alongside deep compassion needs to also be a balanced responsibility. Because what I'm not saying is just let yourself off the hook or it's okay when things don't work or some platitude. Instead, it's about taking responsibility for your results or for what you're creating in your business. And if you don't have the results, and if you haven't created what you wanted, you haven't followed through or acted in the way that you intended, then it is your responsibility to understand that and reflect on the relationship between those two things, your actions and your results, as a way to improve or create something more effective. Taking responsibility in that way is important for you to make changes and to grow. Again, it's not about blaming and shaming yourself. Instead, taking responsibility for what you are in control of or have influence over, and leaving the things beyond you to the things beyond you. Now, the last piece that nests in beside this balanced responsibility is a belief that things can be different. And you might call this a growth mindset if you've heard that term before. So this is the idea that you are not a static human, that you are capable of changing and growing. Now, this one was a big one for me in order to come back and try podcasting again. I had to set aside my ego and see that my results, that is taking too much time for each episode and not being consistent came from what I knew and could apply at the time. That is a past version of me. I wasn't wrong or bad or stupid. I simply and neutrally was where I was. I knew what I knew. I had the skills that I had. I was in the season that I was in. Period. Because I took the action of trying to create a podcast, the results don't prove who I am. It illuminates a past version of me and what I knew, not what I'm capable of, or who I can be, or what I can create. Past results don't have to connect to the future unless you ignore and avoid the lessons being gifted from taking actions, with experimenting, with trying things out. For me, the fact that I wasn't immediately successful was proof that I didn't know enough. And for me, not knowing enough is shameful. When I took on the podcast, I wasn't able to be consistent because obviously I didn't know enough. Those were the stories that I was telling myself. And in one way, that is perfectly true. I didn't know what I know now. And I was judging that and labeling that as a failure, a disappointment, and something to be ashamed of. I felt like I needed to know everything before I started. And I thought that I did. But that's an impossibility, to know everything before you start. And truly, what would be the fun in that? There'd be nothing left to learn. It took a lot of reflection and compassion and kindness toward myself and a new perspective to embody this new understanding that not knowing enough is an inherent part of doing something new and trying something I've never tried and stretching beyond my limits. It's weaved into the fabric of being a beginner, this not knowing everything. It takes making your best guess, given what you know, while allowing for what you don't, and then trusting that your best guess is your best. And then having compassion when further along down your timeline, you learn something more or you learn something that new, and that requires you to adjust. Because now you know, but you couldn't have known before you did it. In my instance, I thought I knew enough to create a podcast and that I would be able to sustain it and show up week after week. I used the information I had and the expertise of others to make my best guess about what it would take and what it would look like for me to create a podcast. But once I actually started doing all the things, it turned out that it took way more time than I had originally guessed it would take. Emphasis on guessed. And I had to come to this place of realizing that that wasn't because I was stupid or wrong or should have known better. It's the simple and real fact that I hadn't done it before. So after a combination of reflection, radical self-honesty, a lot of deep compassion and personal responsibility, and then fostering this growth mindset, I'm returning to the podcast and my business, actually, with a new approach. And I'm excited to see what's next. So I hope you'll continue to join me for what I'm calling this new season. So make sure you subscribe. Now, an exciting addition is that we now have a private courage community that is housed off of social media, where we can engage in conversations and dialogues all around these ideas. And I'd love for you to join us. You can find it at amandajane.ca/courage. I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for joining me this week. If you like today's episode, I invite you to head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. This lets Apple know that great listeners like you enjoyed the show, and it helps get the message out to more listeners. So your review really does make a difference. Thanks again for joining me, Amanda Jane, in this episode of More Ways. Until next time, rock on.